Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Sitting across from me, as usual, is
Mike Cosentino, here.
And we have three guests in the studio today.
We are excited to have candidates. Here it is, political season, political show. We talk politics all the time. And we have actual live candidates right here in the studio. And they are Democratic candidates.
They are all alive. There's no
Yes, that's right.
There's nothing
right.
going on. Let's talk first to Angela Lefevre. Tell us a little bit about what's happened, because for Democrats and for independents and, frankly, for moderate Republicans, there's been nobody to vote for in the legislature in the Verde Valley for a very long time. The Republican, right wing of the Republican Party basically purged Tom O'Halloran. Because he was too moderate, he was too much in favor of education.
Champion of the environment, champion of education.
And we haven't had anyone else. Now things have changed, right?
And let's go ahead and Angela Lefevre running for the House. It's the State House. Uh-huh. We have Doug Ballard running for the State House here, and they're both going to talk. We have Tom Chabon, who is running for the Senate. And we're going to say their names a couple times so you know what's going on here. And Angela's going to talk about LD6, is that right?
Yeah. Start with telling us what's happened, Angela.
Okay. I'm Angela Lefevre, and running. There are two seats, two House seats in LD6, just like there are in all the districts. There are 30 districts in Arizona, and LD6 is a new one. It is the result of a redistricting. What happened is every 10 years there's a census, and because we can only have 30 districts, what happens is when the population increases, so the districts are redrawn and get bigger. So right now, the Independent Redistricting Commission, which was set up to do this, figured out that they wanted an average where everyone has to be similar, of around about 215,000 people. Not registered voters, but people living in each district.
And what does the geography look like? It runs all the way from Clarkdale and Jerome way over into eastern Arizona. It runs all along the Mogollon Rim.
Right. The biggest difference, just to go to take it for the Verde Valley and Sedona area, is that it moves this area from LD1, Legislative District 1, which is where we used to be, and that was basically dominated by Prescott. So all those who were representing us were basically from Prescott. So there was a lot of concern from this area, which was actually given to the IRC during the trials and tribulations of it. Anyway, gave witness, and what happened was that we were moved. So Mingus Mountain was the division. Everything east of Mingus Mountain, the Verde Valley, moves to Legislative District 6, which also includes now Coconino County, except for the Navajo Nation, and it includes Gila County down to Tonto Basin and Navajo County as far as Holbrook. So you go out west as far as Holbrook. There are areas that aren't in it, obviously, that not all of those counties are in it, but it does go over four counties.
So if you compared it to a state, how large is it?
I guess we could eat up Vermont.
Okay.
Well, let me point out, though, by the way, Leslie Hoffman, the Yavapai County Recorder, is going to be our guest in Cottonwood next Thursday. And she's going to talk about some of these issues. I know it's confusing for a lot of folks, the whole redistricting thing and where they vote. She's just going to talk about the vote centers, and she's going to talk about what district you're in and how you can get to the polling place and all those voting issues that have been a result of some of the things Angela's talking about.
Yeah, and the district includes Flagstaff, includes the Verde Valley. And runs east. And Flagstaff and the Verde Valley are a very big part of this district. Angela's from Sedona. It's our first chance to have a representative in a long time, right from
That's
Sedona
important.
And the Verde Valley, which for us is really important. I mean, we've had no one for years in the state Senate. It's particularly important, that candidates represent northern Arizona, that we don't as Northern Arizonans get lost in this legislature, completely dominated by Maricopa? What were your statistics on that? So many of the districts are really around Phoenix, right?
Right, exactly. And I'm excited to run because I do see an opportunity to be the voice and representative of all of the Verde Valley, including Sedona. I think that is huge. I've talked to people like Tom O'Halloran. I've talked to people like Chip Davis. I want to talk to everyone. So that I can listen and understand the issues of the area. This is really great that we're in a competitive district, which means that every vote will count. So I hope that people out there will listen to the candidates, listen to what they have to offer, and will make their choices. But most importantly, will register to vote and will vote in November.
All right. And we have Doug Ballard. Doug, would you introduce yourself here?
Sure. Doug Ballard. I'm a resident of Parks. My wife and I have 34 years, live in Parks, Arizona, which is near Flagstaff. I'm retired after a 31-year career in city planning, city administration, and most specifically economic development. My last 14 years was as planning and development director for the city of Chandler, Arizona. It was a very big department. We had planning, economic development for most of my tenure there. We had community development, civil engineering, and whatnot. And I was fortunate enough to be in Chandler during a period of time when we attracted the biggest economic development locates in the state's history, and those are Intel. All of the Intel plants in one form or fashion or another I was involved with. And collectively, they represented well in excess of $10 billion worth of private sector investment in the state. And so that was a tremendous experience for me, and I was very honored and fortunate to be able to work on those. Obviously, I also worked on many small business issues, many medium-sized business issues, office development. I think over 6 million square feet of office development, over 8 million square feet mostly high-tech industrial development, and a lot of residential development as well.
You would bring a tremendous amount of experience of working with economic development, of working in partnership of government with the private sector.
Wait a minute now. You're talking about a legislator that actually knows something and focuses on jobs?
Well, I think Doug actually helped manage huge amounts of money coming into Chandler. And I think I get the impression you understand the connection between government and business, that they can work together to bring prosperity. I think that's important in a candidate. Why would you say you decided to run?
Well, quite frankly, it's all about jobs. I mean, it's clear, and this isn't exactly rocket science, but it's all about jobs and it's all about the economy. And I, for one, have gotten pretty tired, I think, of a lot of the hyper-partisanship that we've seen down in the legislature and a lot of the divisive bills and divisive issues that have been brought forward. You know, regulating women's access to contraception. You could look at guns in schools and all these types of things that don't get down to the basic issues that we have to deal with in the state if we're to turn this around. And a big part of that also, if I might add, is education. You can't build a strong economy on a weak educational system. And time and again, the legislature has voted to gut our educational system, $400 million worth of cuts last year alone.
Doug, during the last meeting we were at, you had a quote from a gentleman at Intel. Could you share that with us?
Well, yeah, I'll paraphrase it because I can't remember the exact quote, but Craig Barrett, who I have met and in my different workings with Intel, had said, and he was the chief, the head of Intel during my tenure there, and he's basically said that Arizona will not see another major high-tech locate based upon the direction it's going relative to education. It is so important. If we were to compete on a national and international stage for jobs, We have to get our act together on education.
That is so huge. That just transcends the whole political partisanship that we see down there.
And we have a real fighter for education who's been in the state legislature as a representative. Doug and Angela are sort of, you guys are kind of running together, and folks, when you vote for two people for representative, not one. But we have Tom Chabin over here. What do you think about the education situation? Introduce yourself.
This is Representative Tom Chabin,
who is running for the Senate. He's running for the Senate. He's from Flagstaff.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Really great to be with you. I've been in the legislature for 5 years. When Ann Kirkpatrick resigned to run for Congress, the Board of Supervisors in Coconino County appointed me to replace her, and I have run twice since and been elected to the House of Representatives. So I've been there. I've been witness to the silly bills, if you will, and the silly ideas that turn into law at the legislature.
You know, the legislature is an embarrassment, and I think one of people, how do you survive down there with these bills? They seem to care nothing about really doing something about jobs. They only want to cut taxes on their friends who own businesses.
I get that question. You'd be surprised how often I get that question. I mean, someone will approach me and say, "Hey, Tom, I'm a Republican. And I just, guns on campus, what are you talking about? You know, mining uranium in the Grand Canyon? What are you talking about? How can you work with people who want to take over all the federal parks and sell them off?" And they say, you know, "Tom, you know, how do you do it?" Well, I just tell them that there has to be a voice there of reason.
So there are
people in moderation.
There are people in the legislature that want to sell off the parks?
Absolutely. One piece after another has been introduced. My opponent, Representative Chester Crandall from Heber Overgaard, passed a referral to Arizona voters that would establish sovereignty over all federal lands, sovereignty over our military bases, sovereignty over the Grand Canyon National Park, sovereignty over our national forests. That's going to be on the ballot for voters to say yes or no. And I think probably the more that sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? I mean, but
sure.
What really is more radical is that it would undo two of the amendments to our state constitution that was a condition by Congress for statehood.
Wow.
Way back 100 years ago?
100 years ago. So we're trying to undo the deal we made with the United States in order for Arizona to become a state. It's like unstitching.
So Arizona.
Let me finish. It's like unstitching the Arizona star from the American flag. And I'm telling you, Republicans come up and tell me, "Tom, what the heck is going on here?" And so I asked them, what's your duty? You know, what is your job in this? And I find out that they're kind of Tom O'Halloran Republicans. They're people who, quite frankly, are concerned about education, concerned about jobs, concerned about stimulating our economy. And when they see this other stuff that goes on that just makes headlines We create editorials. We're on the Daily Show. We're on Colbert.
With we're
all
a
that stuff.
Stock, yes.
All the laughing stock. They're embarrassed. And so, I mean, here's the chance.
And you said they're wasting our money too.
I think without a doubt. I mean, here we have the legislature turning around suing the Independent Redistricting Commission over the legislative maps that are adopted and are in place. They're suing them. Well, we as taxpayers are not only paying for the lawsuits against the Independent Redistricting Commission, we as taxpayers are paying the bill to defend the Independent Redistricting Commission.
Wasn't there a bill where we were going to give Russell Pierce a whole lot of money because Russell Pierce lost a recall election?
I will tell you.
That's a great bill, folks. We pay for his recall.
Let me tell you, Doug and Angela's opponent, Representative Brenda Barton, was an advocate for giving Russell Pierce $267,000 of taxpayer dollars because he lost his recall election.
It would never have gone made straight it into his pocket, right? He wouldn't have to put it, or would he have to put it in a political committee?
No, he wouldn't. I looked at the people who'd made a contribution to his campaign. Some people sent $5. Some people sent the max. But no, Russell Pierce would have put that money in his pocket. It would not have met. According to the bill that they wanted us to vote on, it would have put that money into his pocket. And they, you know, they cite a constitutional provision that, quite frankly, interpreted the way they want to interpret it. I mean, we could have given Russell Pierce $5 and that's it. But they wanted to give him $260,000 of taxpayer dollars.
And our two candidates over here, Doug and Angela, are running against someone who supported giving taxpayer dollars.
I believe Mr. Crandall did as well. But Ms. Barton actually spoke in favor of that.
So let's start with Doug again. Doug, what do you see as the most important issues? And then we'll go to Angela. And tell us about you decided to run for this office. You have a great background. Will you guys be able to make a dent in representation, not only for Sanity, but also for Northern Arizona? Because, you know, we do get kind of lost in the shuffle. This is everybody a mix, right, Mike? It's all about Maricopa,
yeah,
which is fine, but
They're tough. The demographics are tough. I mean, 21 urban districts are relatively Arizona-style urban districts, and 9 rural districts, of which we are one.
We need a strong team to represent Northern Arizona.
Right.
Politics and Democrats and Republicans aside.
Right, and I really agree. And you know, based upon obviously what Angela had told your listeners, we really have an opportunity to have great representation for Northern Arizona. This is really the first chance in quite a while, especially for the Verde Valley. In terms of top issues, clearly it's the economy, clearly it's jobs, clearly it's the educational system. I think specifically to Northern Arizona, our greatest asset are our national parks, are our national forests. Not just our greatest environmental asset, but our greatest economic asset. When you look at the Grand Canyon, that brings into this country from people all over the world, $700 million a year into this state. When you look at the people that come to Sedona, I'm sure that this part of the state brings in well more than $1 billion into this state's economy, and we have people that are looking at destroying all that.
Right.
You know, I mean, let's take over the Grand Canyon, and you're looking at an organization that can't keep our rest stops open. You know, and so
that organization being the state of Arizona,
the state legislature,
and the crazy legislator. They not only can they not do their job, they want to seize our national public land,
right,
and then they don't have the money to take care of them. And what are they going to do? Well, they can do anything they want, assuming this is probably unconstitutional.
It's not the money,
right?
It's the expertise, it's all kinds of things. It's a level of insanity that's hard to imagine.
It's an attack on our economy here in Sedona and Northern Arizona. All this nonsense about seizing our national parks and stuff, taking them away from the American people and making them just belong to people in Arizona. The entire country, all the people of the United States, owns all these national parks and monuments. They're held in a collective trust. To break that trust would be, I think, a disaster.
How many national parks in this district, Angela?
State parks.
You need the microphone.
Oh, there are 7. We have a huge amount, and 6 of them are right around this area. So
and these are economic resources, not just natural resources.
I mean, it was so bad when we very nearly saw a very tragic thing happened here in the Sedona area when the Red Rock State Park was almost closed. As most people would know, I'm sure, this state legislature swiped away the funds, just took them from the Heritage Fund, which you, the voters, had voted on to put aside for the state parks. They took those funds into the general fund, leaving the state parks penniless, and about to be closed.
Name some names, though. Tell us who helped locally keep the parks open.
There was, Red Rock State there was Park a good open. Friend of mine called Birgit Lowenstein.
Yeah.
And she was amazing. She had a group of people, and they got together. They enlisted the help of the city of Sedona, of Yavapai County. Hmm. A lot of people came to the help, and the businesses of Sedona, who recognized the importance of jobs, of their businesses, of tourism, being so important in this area, and losing that park would have been absolutely disastrous. And also education, because this park is open for kids, for schools to come in. They go to the riparian area around the creek. They learn things. This is an amazing park, and it was kept open, thank goodness, by the help of the local people.
Tom was at the legislature at the time. He's going to tell us a little bit about that.
Well, and there's one of the, it wasn't only just taking the heritage funds. You know, that what the park system statewide was pretty much an enterprise. And from the fees that they generated at the gates was put into a fund. And that is what funded pretty much the operations of our state parks statewide. Now, some parks, like Brewton Mansion and Flagstaff, didn't really generate enough money to keep it sustained. But Slide Rock, as an example, is a great moneymaker. But that was all pooled. Well, what did the legislature do? But take that fund balance away. And that was the crisis in our state park system. That was why there was a compelling issue to close the parks, and that's why their local partnerships had to step up. And that, you know, it's a band-aid in place, but it's not going to last very long. And in order to change it, we certainly have to change the chemistry at the legislature.
Once again, recognizing those natural resources as economic resources, especially in Sedona. I mean, this is, you know, I heard Tom make a distinction. You know, when you talk to your Republican constituents, what you have a little challenge you give them about what kind of Republican they want to be.
Well, you know, look, I've lived in northern Arizona for 40 years. I know so many people. I've been in public service. I was on the Board of Supervisors in Coconino County. I was on a school board. And over the years, you know people. I know legislators that have served for the last 20 years. Listen, it just isn't – I have friends of all ilks. I've worked with many Republicans on many issues. And quite frankly, it's kind of what I would call the Tea Republican Party, the ideology that has captured the politics of the legislature. And it's righteous.
Right.
It is absolute. You can't deviate from it. And it wasn't just kind of some hardball stuff that, for instance, Tom O'Halloran had to deal with when he was in the Senate, or John Wetaw when they served together in the House. It wasn't just that. This is just kind of this is the highway, and if you don't go this way, if you just deviate one vote on our agenda, we will have an opponent against you in your primary. And if you're in a Republican-dominated district, you're done. You're cooked. Quite frankly, that's why, you know, this election is so fun, because we are part of a competitive district. It is Republican leaning, but not Republican dominant.
Right.
And so for the Tom O'Halloran Republicans, for the John Wetaw Republicans, for the Bill Kopanecki, for those who may not know him, he served
he's been
in the East. Yeah. And, you know, for those kind of Republicans that are really concerned about education and having a great education system, for those Republicans who are concerned about the increasing tuition at our universities and the lack of support of our community colleges, the role that the state used to have, they're listening and they're concerned.
Now, I do want to kind of talk to the two representatives, the two, Doug and Angela, who are here. You have a challenge to work with the other side also, but what do you got?
And I think, you know, we look on it this way, is that we're elected there by both, hopefully, Republicans and Democrats, and we'll be representing Republicans and Democrats. And I think that's what the people down there forget about, that they are representing everybody.
Clear down there that they are forgetting that.
They're forgetting that a little bit. And independents, too. Look at the huge amount of independents. Over a third are in our state, and we need to represent them. They need a voice. Well, I'll give you just one quick example. Obviously, I haven't been down there. Tom knows a lot more than I do. But I did pick up one thing. Senator Shapiro, who's now running for a congressional seat down in the new District 7, he was talking a few months ago about his experience, education again. I mean, not only have they cut millions and millions of dollars in our public education, but they've done things like Senator Shapiro wanted to introduce a bill about bullying to put together some ways of monitoring it and helping and protecting those at school who are bullied. You know, I lived for 13 years in Colorado, in Denver, and I volunteered up at the Columbine School. I've mentored kids there, and I know what that happens when you get bullying in schools. It's a shocking thing. If we can do something in the state legislature to help to get rid of that, guess what happened? The bill was never even listened to. It
never
was
even got heard.
Put in a drawer somewhere, and that was that. That's what happens when you have a majority in there, a veto-proof majority that does not listen to anybody else but its own agenda.
They've gone on their own sort of crazy way. I don't really believe they're representing Republicans. They're representing an ideology rather than an area. Rather than representing Northern Arizona, they're representing the Tea Republican ideology. What do you think, Doug?
Well, I think that's exactly right. And we've moved so far away from an atmosphere where you can build consensus on an issue. It's all one way, as Tom said, or the highway. And we have to reestablish a sense of balance in the legislature. It's terribly, terribly out of balance right now. And we have to work to build consensus to solve the real problems of the state and not concentrate on some of these, frankly, pretty crazy bills.
The balance is 40-20. Yes, sir. Absolutely. The balance is 40-20, 40 Republicans and 20 Ds, and we have a chance to send two more Ds from this area. So that's,
and I think what Tom was saying is how much pressure there is on Republicans to vote for every single crazy measure, or they will be punished. They will have a highly supported, lots of money opposition in the primary.
Go ahead.
There's another thing which kind of worries me too, is the outside interests that have been involved in this state legislature that are absolutely of huge concern. Everybody now, I think, has heard of ALEC. Nobody knew what ALEC was. It was like, it was John ALEC.
The American Legislative Exchange Council.
Yes, that's a lobbying company that puts huge amount of money into interests which they want to put forward. And
58 members of the Arizona legislature belong to it.
Absolutely. And look what they've done. So they introduced the laws, and they put forward. In fact, once I guess I heard was that one of the bills that was introduced still had Alec's name on the top of it.
Yes.
They hadn't taken it out yet.
Yeah.
All right. Sum up. Let's start with Tom. Tom's running for the state Senate. He is a state representative now. He's been down there. He's fought for education. How would you sum up things, Tom? We're running out of time.
Well, look, this is a competitive district. This is a time and a place when we can find the middle, where independents can actually determine the outcome of an election, that moderate Republicans can look at all candidates and make a choice.
Angela.
Well, that's it. Any moderate voter can make a difference. You know, the polls are showing moderates make a difference. Go ahead, Angela.
Yeah, I just want to urge you to vote for the three of us, to vote for Doug, Angela, and Tom. Remember those names. We will represent you, and we will listen to you.
Thank you for coming in today. All this podcast will be available on
vvid.org.
About 3 days after broadcast.
Yeah,
right?
We're getting up in two lately.
Tom's been
it's
on
a race.
The ball
we're doing
here.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom's on the ball. That's right.
Are we out of time, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming, guys.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.